Welcome to Bible Center Church, and thank you so much for joining us on BC Podcast. Here's a message to encourage your heart this week.
Well, good morning to you. Happy Easter. You look really good. Just say that from here. Thank you for joining us here at Bible Center this morning. My name is John. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's my honor to open God's Word with us this morning. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app or a device in your hand that you can use Google on, you can find 1 Corinthians 15. So I'd invite you there this morning. Troy read just a few minutes ago the account of the resurrection from the Gospel of Luke. And so we're going to pick up from there and we're going to move forward into the Apostle Paul's description of what has happened as a result of the resurrection in the life of believers. And so we're going to start at the resurrection, and then we're going to move forward. We've been in a series for the last few weeks called The Beautiful Gospel, and it's looked at God's plan throughout history to bring Jesus to the planet, to die in our place, and then eventually to rise again, and then ultimately to get to what we're going to talk about this morning, which are the last two words that we use to describe the gospel. We use 10 words to describe the gospel, and the last two are God restores. God restores. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is we're going to pick that up, and we're going to move ourselves forward from the resurrection into God working to restore all things. So starting in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says this, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received." Now, when you're reading the Bible, or when you're reading anything for that matter, and you see the author write the words "most important," that's kind of a clue. Hey, I'm going to pay attention to what it is that he's talking about here. And so Paul, at the beginning of this chapter to this church in Corinth, the believers in Corinth, he's saying that there's an importance on what I'm about to tell you that rises above even all of the other things that I've already told you. So we're in chapter 15. So he's told them quite a few things up till now. But then in 15, he says, this is the most important thing. So there's a big deal that's happening right here as we begin this chapter. So, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." Now that's basically the gospel. If you're looking for a place, where do I go in the Bible to find, you know, the good news of Jesus and what happened with Jesus? That is about as concise of a definition that you're going to find in Scripture. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. The centerpiece of what we call the gospel. But then he goes on. He says, "And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me." There's a lot in there. Basically, what he's saying is, here's proof of what I just said. One of the interesting things that he remarks on, he says, most of them are still alive. The people that Jesus had appeared to, this letter was one of the earliest accounts in the New Testament that we have of Christ's death and his resurrection, about 30 years after Christ rose from the dead. So very early is when this was written. So the people that Paul is mentioning here are still living, many of them. And he's referring to them as having seen Christ. This is not an apologetics message, meaning that I'm not going to stand here all morning and just try to prove to you that the tomb was empty. But a few things about that, because it's a big deal. What Troy just read was this account of the women showing up on that Sunday morning and finding an empty tomb. And that's a big deal. That's a huge part of what we believe in and why we celebrate Easter. And so the empty tomb itself is some proof that, number one, Jesus' resurrection is certain. Jesus' resurrection is certain. It's factual. It's something that every human has to grapple with, that Christ came to this planet and he said, I am going to die and I'm going to come back to life, and he did. We have to grapple with that truth. His resurrection is certain. And so Paul begins this chapter by telling us some reasons why it's certain. The first one is the empty tomb. There's an empty tomb. If you go to Jerusalem today, you can go to a tomb that they've marked, here's where Jesus was buried, but here's the news. He's not there. You can go all over the world and you can visit memorials and tombs and all of those things for people that have lived and died, and you can see where their remains are, but not Jesus. It's an empty tomb. So the first thing that he points to is that it's an empty tomb. The second thing is what Paul is talking about here is that he appeared after he had risen. He appeared to so many people. We have so many eyewitnesses of Jesus being resurrected and him appearing to them. And then the third one is the origin of the Christian faith, where this faith, that why we gather in this place on this Sunday morning, where it began was around that empty tomb. And think about it for a second. These guys, these 12 disciples that had followed him for his ministry career, they started their ministry in the town where he was buried. Now, can you imagine if they said, we're worshiping a risen Savior, but there was a tomb over there that had his remains in it? No, in the same city where Jesus had been buried and had risen again, they started their public ministry. And there's so many other on and on reasons that we could go into that make this true, verifiable fact. But Jesus' resurrection is certain. It's certain. Which leads us to number two, Jesus' resurrection is our hope. Jesus' resurrection is our hope. Go down to verse 20. Verse 20. He goes on, he says, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, for death came through a man. The resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. One of the commentators that I read this week put it this way. The resurrection was God's validation that the redemption paid by Christ on the cross was accepted. It was God's validation. It was his stamp that said, I accept this sacrifice. The fact, the certainty that Jesus came back to life is God's validation of the sacrifice. When we think about this journey, we go back a few weeks, as we've talked about this over the last couple weeks, the first two words of the beautiful gospel are just simply, God creates. God creates. Part of being a Christian is this core belief system that includes God made everything. He spoke it into existence. When we read Genesis, we see this good creator who out of his goodness and out of his love made everything. And so everything that he has made has value. It has worth, including humans. And God not only created in the past, but he's also creating in the future and right now. He's creating. Every time we see a baby born or spring or something like that, we see evidence of God creating, sustaining his creation. God creates. The second two words of the beautiful gospel are that sin breaks. So God, out of his goodness, created Adam and Eve, and he put them in this garden. The Genesis actually says, place them in this garden as a gift to them. Everything they could want, everything they could need. But in a moment, they rebelled against their creator. Just a simple definition of sin is rebellion against God. It's me assuming the place of God. And so Adam and Eve rebelled. They chose wrongly, and sin came into the world and broke everything. It broke their relationship with God. It broke their relationship with each other. That's why we struggle with interpersonal relationships now. It's because of sin, and it broke our relationship with the earth itself. If you were pulling weeds this weekend, maybe you realized that. Why are they here? It's a broken relationship, even with the planet. Sin breaks everything. There was this relationship when God created us that we were walking beside him. Genesis tells us that God would come down in the cool of the evening and he would walk with Adam and Eve. There was this beautiful, perfect, whole relationship that we had, the creator and the created. And when sin came into the world and broke that relationship, now there's enmity between the two. We're postured against God. We're literally an enemy of God because of sin. Enter the resurrection. That's what brings us to Easter morning. You see, there was a problem. God had created us whole and perfect, and sin had broken everything, and now we're rebelling against our creator, and so we needed a savior. And so God sent his son, Jesus, to come and live the perfect life and to die as the perfect sacrifice, as Paul has just described. He's died as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins, to give us hope that one day we can be with God again. And when he rose from the grave, he conquered sin and death. He paid for our sin in our place, on our behalf. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We need a savior, and God provided Jesus to be our savior. So there's a moment of salvation where I now trust in Christ for my salvation. I'm not looking to my own stuff and what I can bring to the table and what I can do and what I can accomplish and kind of this idea that I'm okay. But I come to this realization that I need a savior, that my sin has broken me and I need a savior. And so I accept Christ as my savior. I call on the name of the Lord and I am saved. But then Jesus is not done with me. Now he begins to transform me. There's this process in my life where he begins to transform me more and more into the image of his son. So I'm made more and more to be like him. God is working on my behalf. Not only do I have the relationship of Jesus being in me, but I've moved from being an enemy to him being for me. It's the beautiful gospel. And it brings us to where we are today. Number three, Jesus' resurrection will be our restoration. Jesus' resurrection will be our restoration. Go to verse 51. He says this, "Listen, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed." So there was some nervousness among the believers in Corinth. There was some nervousness about those who had died. What was going to happen to them? Where were they going to go? What was taking place? And so Paul is speaking to that, but he's also speaking to those who were alive and to those who are alive. And so he starts to move from Jesus resurrected in the past, and now there's restoration coming in the future. He starts to point our attention to what will happen in the future. And he says this, "We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed." Those who are dead, those who are alive, we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, which is a victory march. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. He's going to use two words here that he bounces back and forth, corruptible and incorruptible, and mortal and immortal. And basically the one means subject to decay, bound to die, perishable. And then the other means not subject to decay, eternal. So verse 53, he says this, "For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place." And he quotes the prophet Isaiah. "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what we celebrate on Easter. That's why we gather in this place week after week after week, and we lift high the name of Jesus, because he is the only one who's worthy. He is the only one who has brought victory. And so we praise him. He saves. He transforms. He restores. And there's two things that happen. The first thing is you are transformed spiritually. At the moment of your salvation, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you are at that moment transformed spiritually. It's as if you never have sinned. It's as if you have never rebelled against God, because Jesus took all of your sin on his own shoulders. He was the perfect sacrifice for you, past, present, future, paid for all of it. So now you stand in that moment, you stand holy and blameless before God. So when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ on you. So spiritually, you are changed. You are restored. You are made new. But then there's a moment in the future, yet to come, that we anticipate. And it's a moment of physical restoration. You know, death is that thing that's in front of all of us. Aging is that thing that's in front of all of us. I was out here a couple weeks ago and I was trying to read my Bible. And the light was a little dim and it was one of these things. I'm like, whoa, what is that all about? So I went back to the backlit iPad. We feel that. That's something that we experience. But what God is promising here through the Apostle Paul is that one day there will be a physical restoration. The body that you now have will be made whole. It will be made immortal. It will be made incorruptible. The body that we now have that's subject to decay, that's subject to age, that eventually is subject to death, it will be made whole. And all of creation alongside of it. And that happens at the moment Christ returns, just as he promised. Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. It's part of our hope. It's part of the glorious truth of the resurrection of Jesus. It's part of the glorious truth of Easter that we will all be changed. You know, if you think about it, God is a God of restoration. We get glimpses of restoration all the time, all around us. Sometimes we just need to pick up our eyes and we can see it happening, that he's working, even now, he's working among us and in us and around us and restoring things. Revelation 21 tells us about the final day. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, or you could say a restored heaven and a restored earth. You see, this new here means new in nature. God is working in what exists and he is making it perfect. He's doing that with you, he's doing that with me, and then ultimately he'll do that with our planet. It's restored. This restoration thing, when we talk about that, we kind of get that on a human level. It's something that we can go to. It's part of our wiring. It's part of how we're made. You know, it reminds me of that home renovation show. Have you ever watched the home renovation show, Extreme Home Makeover? Remember that? It's been a few years, which I just told you I'm getting old, so there you go. But that show is amazing, right? They show up and they bring like 500 people, and in a week and a half, they totally renovate, restore a house. And when they're done, it's the same address, it's the same city, it's the same neighborhood, but the house looks like totally different, like it's been restored, like this is amazing. But they go into the house that exists and they rebuild, they restore this home. They reimagine this home. And then they get to that climactic moment, you know, where the whole town is out there and the bus is in the way and they say, move that bus! And they move the bus and everybody falls apart because, oh my goodness, this is crazy. We love that. We love restoration. We look for it. We see glimpses of it. You know, you see it as we've watched on the news in the past couple years when a hurricane will hit and it'll just devastate a town or devastate a city. And you watch after the storm, people come together and they start rebuilding. They start restoring. Our hearts are moved by the images that we see of this restoration that's going on. It's part of us. God's made it so that we long for that. You see it outside right now, which I love, when you drive up the drive and you see the trees starting to bloom. And spring is dawning. This restoring is going on. Restoration is all around us. You see it when a baby is born. You see it when families are put back together after going through deep hurt and deep pain. You see the miracle of restoration in our life. In our ministries, we see it at the Maker Center on the West Side all the time. We see it on the face of someone who gets their driver's license, which is a huge step for them in recovery. See it as they learn how to sew or learn how to design as they recover from addiction and they're being restored. See it in the faces of our students and the kids that they just interacted with in Nicaragua this past week. They just got back Friday, having spent a week in one of the poorest countries in the world, and you wouldn't know it because restoration is all over. We see it in foster moms and dads who give so much to restore life for a child. We see it in a line of people getting a meal for Thanksgiving. And we see it on the faces of those coming up from the waters of baptism. Restoration. It's all around us. Because God restores. It's what he does. You know, I see it in my own story. This week in particular, I don't know what it was. There are moments in my story where things hit me a little bit differently than other days. And I was walking in the building on Tuesday morning and I was kind of wrestling with this message and where are we going to go and all that. And I was coming in the door over there and I put my key in the door and my mind flashed like just like that back to when I was 11 years old. And my family and I came to Bible Center Church for the first time. We had just gone through a season of loss. We'd lost my dad to cancer a couple months earlier. And we were reeling, struggling, lost, hurting, depressed, you know, insert all the words. We showed up at this place. And this group of people who call Bible Center home, many of you are here. They just wrap their arms around us because that's what they do. They give their lives to what God is doing in the world. They give their lives to being part of God restoring. And they cried with us and they gave to us and they served us and they prayed with us. And now 35 years later, I'm here giving this message. Because God restores. God restores. It's the bedrock, the foundation of our hope. God restores me spiritually, but he's gonna restore me physically. He's gonna restore all things. You know, the final images in the Bible convey the relationship that we'll be. This relationship that God is with us forever. He comes to us again. He restores all things in the culmination of this beautiful gospel. What started with creation, it ends with restoration. What started with God beside us ends with God with us. What started in a garden ends in a city. What started with God speaking all things into existence ends with God speaking over all things that exist. And it hinges on Easter. It hinges on Jesus' arrival to earth. It hinges on Jesus' resurrection. John chapter 1 tells us about the beginning. As God was creating, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we observed his glory. Glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, who existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe and with a golden sash wrapped around his chest. The hair of his head was white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a fiery flame. His feet were like fine bronze fired in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of cascading waters. He had seven stars in his right hand. A sharp double-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was shining like the sun at full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever." And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them, will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Final promise we're made in the Bible is that God will be with us. And that's through Christ. It's through the resurrection of Jesus that God will be with us. I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Maybe today for you is the day that you need that spiritual restoration. You need to be saved. You need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. You can be saved from your sin, from your past, and you can have hope, an eternal hope, that you will be with God forever. If you'd like to receive Christ this morning, can I ask you just to put your hand up? Just put your hand up tall. Let me see it. I want to receive Jesus. See it. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I see you in the back. I just want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I see it over here in the front. I just invite you to pray with me. And then I'm going to ask you after this service to either come and talk to me or to go in our lobby and talk to a couple people I'm going to introduce you to in a minute. But let's pray together. There's no magic formula, there's no magic prayer, but just repeat this after me. God, I know I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my need for a Savior. And I acknowledge that Jesus is my sacrifice, that he died for me. Please save me and give me hope for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that this morning, I'm so proud of you. That's why we get together. Can we say we're proud of them? Come on. If you didn't pray that today and you'd like to talk to somebody before you leave, I would encourage you, don't miss the moment. If you did, I would encourage you to stop and celebrate and let them know. We have a couple people in the lobby, Mike and Michelle will be out there. I've got their pictures. We're going to put them up on the screen, I think. Maybe. I'd love for you to stop and see them. They're going to be right over here outside these doors at our group wall. Just stop and say, hey, I trusted Christ, or I need to trust Christ. The resurrection is our hope. It's our hope. Don't leave here without it. We love you so much. Thank you so much for joining us for Easter Sunday. We'll see you soon. Have a great week.
For more information, visit us at BibleCenterChurch.com and give us a follow on all platforms at Bible Center.